This episode was brought to you by the Social Fishing Membership, Australia's fastest growing freshwater platform, giving you the resources to catch more fish. Welcome to the Social Fishing Podcast. My name is Reece Creed. I'm a passionate angler and I want to share as much as I can about the sport we all love. On this podcast, we speak to incredible anglers, sharing a wealth of priceless knowledge, all to help you reach your fishing dreams. Thanks for joining us today. Now let's begin. Welcome everybody back to the Social Fishing Podcast. This is episode 88. Now, my name is Reece Creed. If you've never joined a podcast before, welcome and welcome to our amazing community where we help you guys learn about catching freshwater fish. It's something I've been passionate about since I was a kid, obsessed and just kept on doing it. And here we are trying to help others get into freshwater fishing. If you are returning here, you know how this works. We always share plenty of content and plenty of things to talk about. This one's a little bit different. I've got Dan back on for just another general chat, and Dan will probably join me a fair bit where we cover a bunch of different topics that have been sent in from you guys. And this one is pretty much the basics or getting into lure fishing for cod. Dan, welcome to another episode.
Hey, mate. How are you?
I'm very well.
Yeah, thanks, mate. This will be a good one.
Been busy. Things have been busy. We've been filming stuff for our membership platform. You've been busy working and bees.
Yep.
And
yep,
it's been a busy summer.
Yeah, mate. Yep. It's been all a go, that's for sure. But yeah, that's good to sit down and just have a chat. I think this will be a good one for a pretty broad audience, actually. It's excitingly as it is, a lot of people getting into it. So look forward to having a yarn about this one.
And the thing is, if you've been fishing for cod for 3 years now, you probably won't get anything from this episode. It's not directed towards people who have been doing it for a long time. And even we forget, when you get into something for 10, 20 years, it becomes natural. And if you're brand new to it and you're scared, don't worry. Because if you dedicate yourself, this will all come so naturally now that when we talk about it, we have to go right back to the basics of...
Yeah,
the things that we do naturally now, and we're going to break it all down for you right now, and how we can head out, read the water, read the conditions, catch the fish, and we're not going to cover it all in one sit down. There's obviously specific topics all the way through the other 87 episodes. Yeah. Very basics of, you know how to fish with bait, you're just picking up a rod with tying a lure on, first crack at lure fishing. We'll do a podcast down the track on new to fishing full stop. But this one is about new to lure fishing for cod. What's your first memory of fishing for cod with a lure?
Crikeys.
Take us back to how you felt in your original starting point.
Yeah. Once upon a time, mate, for me, just like everyone else, the Murray cod was a mythical creature. You know, something that you come across pretty rarely, really hard to catch, really smart fish. And you know, something that was almost got to the point there where you pretty much have to put down every other form of fishing, forget about trying to just chase yellows or whatever it might have been, just dedicate to chasing cod on lures. And that's really the only way that I started to find any sort of success. But mate, honestly, just like a lot of other people out there, they were you know, right up there in the pedestal as being a pretty tricky thing to target. So
where was your first
one? That probably started for me. Wyangla Dam was where we used to chase cod first of all. Used to do a fair bit of trolling around up there, you know, casting spinner baits at rock balls and things like that. Yeah, that's where my first sort of couple of cod came on board, and it's actually where I caught my first meter cod was Wyangla Dam as well. So, you know, we sort of started to tick over eventually, and like you say, that, you know, after a little while, it sort of becomes, a lot of these things become second nature where you don't actually have to think about them anymore, and they can seem quite an intimidating target when you first get into, especially lure fishing, but, you know, they're not unicorns. It can be done, and you can learn how to do it and do it quite well.
Were you still living in the city when you first, like, were you living in the country when you first caught your first cod, or were you traveling from the city to do a session at Wyangla before, when you caught your first cod?
Yeah, no, so we used to travel, mate. So we were out Western Sydney, out towards Penrith there back in the day, and we would hook up the boat on a Friday afternoon and head out to Wyangler and spend the weekend and come home again in time for work on Monday.
Why that? Well, so your target was saltwater fish. You grew up doing that with your dad, bass.
Yep.
And why cod, yep. Or was it the drive for yellows first? Or why freshwater over going to the salt?
Yeah, look, there's just something about being in the bush. There's a real draw to freshwater fishing. We had the Nepean River that we sort of fished a lot for bass. And for me, it was a bit of an expansion on that whole freshwater side of things as well. So, you know, we didn't have access to yellows and cod where I was actually living, so we had to travel to find them, and that's where I chose. I guess it was just a little bit of, would have been reading magazines and whatever information I could get, and thought, you know what, we can get into there, and just started at Wyangler and then just started expanding from there.
I'm going to say it wasn't the easiest start for you, Wyangler.
It was reasonably tricky.
It's probably the pick of the dams. If you're going to pick a dam, it's probably the right dam to pick. But as we're going to discuss in a second, I wouldn't recommend starting in an impoundment.
No, trying to pick apart an impoundment when you've really got very little idea what you're doing is very, very difficult. It's just, there's a lot of water to try and pick apart, and there's a lot of dead water, as we know now. It's just... a lot of areas that I used to fish that looked good to me were, I was quite often on the wrong track. I wasn't adjusting to seasons properly. I wasn't sort of fishing, I guess you sort of got to pick up on when and how to fish each sort of lure and things like that. So in the early days, it was a lot of mistakes and a lot of time without fish. But eventually, you start to sort of put a few things together. And fortunately these days, mate, the information... Excuse me, is a lot easier to get access to. We're going back 25 years, to when I first started travelling with my old man and that, when we used to chase him, and the info was pretty thin on the ground back then.
So how old were you with your first Murray cod? And do you even remember it, or you vaguely remember some small ones on a session?
Yeah, I don't specifically remember the first one, mate, to be honest.
Yeah. Bycatch, one with yellows or something?
You sort of, back in the day, you'd be in that bit of a mindset where you would just throw on a lure that's sort of halfway in between.
Yeah.
And so, you'd throw on a sort of a larger yellow belly lure and hope for a cod.
Mm-hmm.
Because we couldn't get away as often as we wanted to, you really had to sort of take advantage of those trips and go, rightio, I just want to catch a fish.
Yep.
Like, you don't have endless trips to go, I'm happy to just keep going time after time and catch nothing. I want to, I'm happy with a few yellows for an afternoon session. So, eventually I got past that mindset, and that's when it really started to sort of come together for me.
I'm going to jump in and say, if you are getting started in chasing a Murray cod, a river would be the pick. So as a recommendation, start on a river or a creek system over an impoundment or a dam, but also pick a location that's close to home. So pick something that's not far from home that you can visit regularly, and it doesn't take too much energy to get there. So the situation, Dan, you're explaining there is not ideal if you're learning how to chase cod. You're traveling 2.5-3 hours. You're not doing it very often. Yep. You're going for a fun trip, so you're going, oh, I want to catch some yellows. And it's also an impoundment. Yep. In saying that, like I said, it's probably the peak of the impoundments to fish, because Wyangler has got more cod than pretty much any other lake. Maybe Mawala. Actually, Mawala's, if you count as a lake, but as a big lake, Wyangler's probably the peak. Mm. But start on a river system. Ideally, you're gonna get more feedback, and you're gonna get more response. Yep. But if your goal is to fish impoundments, you live right beside, Copeton, and that's your goal, and you don't mind, and you're happy to put in the time, then learn that, because obviously, if you start there, you throw yourself into that, you will learn how to catch fish in that lake system the more time you spend there. A good example is Jimmy Barwick become a member, but prior to that, he fished up north, did a whole heap of stuff, come back down, well and truly worth listening to his podcast. I think he caught one small cod in a river system, or a couple of small ones in a river system. But his first crack at cod was in Blowering, but because it's his local lake, it's closer than any river. Spent the time there, and he kept spending the time there and had tough sessions and learnt the process to what cod are and how to catch them.
Yeah.
With obviously time on the water, asking questions and getting a stack of resources to help. But you got to mix the two. You got to mix time with the knowledge, and you can spend a heap of time out there doing it yourself, or you can get information and like this podcast, get a bit of information to help you along. So starting on a river, you would agree, a creek. Can we, I want to talk about rivers in a sec, but can you go back to if someone is going to start on an impoundment, what do you recommend other than fishing your closest one, unless it's rubbish, fishing your closest one? What's your recommendation on a fishing impoundment? I can imagine that one piece of advice I would share is that don't expect results straight away, but don't keep doing the same thing without results. So if you do something for a session, no luck, you go out the next week and all the conditions are still the same, maybe mix it up a bit and keep mixing it up, tweak things, whether it's the spot you fish or the depth you fish or the lure you fish. And obviously as the seasons completely change, then you've got to completely change. Like Dan said, he got stuck using the same, fishing the same depth, whether it was summer or winter. Now, what's some other advice for fishing a lake? For, like, never caught a cod on a lure.
Obviously, research is number one. Once you've worked out, rightio, I've got this impoundment I'm going to, pick an arm, pick a section of that impoundment to start to pull it apart. Don't go racing all over the lake because they're just way too big for it. So pick wherever you're going to camp, try and camp as close as you can to where you're going to fish, and just do repeated trips on that particular arm or that particular section of the dam. Obviously, if you start to hear stories about it fishing really well on a different arm or something like that, yes, you've probably got to go and chase a bite there. But more often than not, Wyangler in particular, it will fish well right across from one end to the other most of the time. And so just pick that section, start picking it apart. Target a steeper wall, target a standing timber, target a flat. Just try and pick it apart and just try and put a few clues together from that particular section. Then take those clues that you get and then replicate them. So then use them to go, rightio, well, let's go and try this section now. We're going to use this lure, this depth, this time of the day, and see if we can replicate those results. Just start putting the clues together one at a time.
What are a couple of lures and the go-to sort of structure and to fish? We're not going to touch on depth. We talk about it in other places because depth is literally the time of year. So, and lures are too, and approach is too. But let's just say we want to catch a cod. Let's just say we recommend going from cod opening through till end of March or end of April, mid-April. So December right through till April, probably the best time that you're going to have a chance of catching a cod. If you're just getting into it, what approach? What are a few lures that I should be using, and what kind of structure should I chase straight away? Casting or trolling or both? What do you recommend?
Yeah, so to get your first cod in the net, I would recommend that you go and troll a deep diving hard body. They're easy to troll. They cover, you know, they've got a pretty good draw for fish. They've got a good presence in the water. So you're going to be looking at something like your ACs, about your 100 to 150 mil. I don't know what some other brands are out there.
Would you go that big to start with?
I'd probably stick it around at 100.
Yeah, like I'd probably stick it at 100.
Yeah, just because they're easy to fish, and you're going to... those 150s do start to discount the smaller fish.
Yeah, where they're big.
The hundreds are probably going to... They could catch any size. You can catch anything from a 50, you know, up to a meter fish on a 100 mil hard body. And so trolling just allows you to cover water. Obviously, if you've got a decent sounder on your boat, you can gather information just from your sounder as you're traveling, as you're trolling. You're going to get some really good images. And you will start to actually mark fish on your sounder. And so it's just a really good way to cover water, gather information, and have probably the best chance of actually catching a fish would be to troll.
Structure?
Rocky banks, probably the structure type's going to be... if you're just getting into it, I would probably be a little bit wary about trolling standing timber because it can be fairly snaggy, especially if there's spindly stuff in amongst it. I would pick a rocky bank, whether it be a shale bank or a boulder sort of a bank. Something, if it's rock, I like to see a bit of sort of decent size rock, not just like a
consistent
consistent sort of shaley bank. I want to see some big boulders because those fish are going to gravitate to that sort of bigger structure.
Like a dam wall.
And it can only, like
dam wall's got
like
good
exactly
structure.
Right. Yeah. There's heaps of tucker in there. There's spots where the fish can sort of tuck out of the way, especially those smaller fish. Anything like that. And of course, you know, big granite boulders are a massive draw card. So if you're places like Wyangla, Copeton, something like that, and you've got a bank that's got some nice big boulders on it, that's going to be your pick.
Yeah, so cool.
Troll 100 mil hard body on a rocky bank. It's probably the best starting point if you're just trying to get your first cod on a lure.
In a lake. Yeah. From
in a lake, yeah.
From 7 to 4 meters, obviously the heat of summer, you're deeper in that April period, you could get away with 4 and 5 meters. So you kind of, we've created more information on depth. That's obviously another thing. So.
Yeah, we've always said four to 6 meters is always sort of, you know, that's always your slot.
If we move to rivers now, which is what we recommend, first of all, you want to pick yourself up a bait caster. Now, we did a post on socials not long ago about starting with a bait cast, and we had a few comments about, you know, you can do it on thread line or a spin reel, and you can. Mm-hmm. You can definitely lob a spinnerbait out and fish it back, but you aren't going to grow.
Please don't make me do that.
First of all, yeah, you're not going to grow as an angler. Your skill is going to stay where it is. Like, you might get a little bit more accurate at casting with a spin rod, but you can't. Like, I could pick up a spin rod now, and someone who's only been using a bait caster for a little bit, and they will be more accurate. So I went fishing. I took someone the other day who's never caught one on a lure. He's done a heap of bait fishing. He's never used a bait caster. He's really keen to give it a go. And he was messaging me. He goes, what rod do I get? Blah, blah, blah. And we're looking at the rod. So I'm kind of changing topic here. But while I'm here, I'll talk about the type of rod. He went to buy a rod and he sent me one. And I was like, that one's too heavy. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, it's 6 foot, like around what you want to start with, around 6 foot, a little bit above, a little bit below. But it was quite a solid rod, which most people sell or recommend for cod. The problem is those style of rods, they're very hard to learn how to flick a light lure. Now, when you're starting out, we're running like a 5/8 ounce spinnerbait or just a small 60, 70, 80 mil hard body, both close to the same weight. I wouldn't start with a 1 ounce spinnerbait. And I think we posted something about that the other day too. And someone commented, I don't know if you replied, someone commented, oh, I prefer the 1 ounce spinnerbaits in the rivers. But your reply was, so do I, but not when I'm starting out. Because obviously 1 ounce have a bigger presence. They're going to discount a lot of the smaller fish and they sink really quick. So if you're still learning how to cast, sink, retrieve, they sink quite quick. And a lot of river systems that you might start on with cod are fairly slow flowing. So you don't need a big weight. Yes, we use it because we're fishing in quite flowing water where we are on irrigation systems. Yep. I still use 5/8. So anyway, he's going to buy this rod and I was like, you want a lighter one. Like it needs to be that like 4 to 8 kilo or 3 to 7 kilo. I said, go lighter than heavier. Because why? Yeah. When you learn to cast, you cast like across your body. So you might flick that way or that way. As you learn and you practice that way and that way, if you're listening to the podcast, it's from right to left or left to right. It's only because I'm on the screen with Dan.
Not uppy downy.
Nah, so from your right across your body or from backhand from the left across your body, I actually learn and practice to cast either backhand or forehand, but I roll my rod tip from underneath. So I line it up straight and roll and cast straight. So it always tracks dead straight. And that's a bit of a technique, but you don't learn like that to start with. In your driveway, I practiced it as a kid, but you still cast from right to left. And if your rod's too stiff, you end up, your lure just ends up going from right and swinging really bad across your body because you can't load it properly. So yes, the heavier rod is ideal for landing, you know, a good cod. If it grabs it, you know, you get a 60 centimeter cod, grabs it, you want that weight in the rod, but you still land those size cod on a lighter rod.
Absolutely.
You still run 50 pound. Like you still run your 50 pound braid and your 50 pound leader. But we cast, Yeah, with a lighter rod, it's easier to flick. So anyway, he jumped in the boat. It was like an hour into the session. He was a bit like, you know, struggling. And as he started, as everyone starts, is you're scared. It's like you're soft with everything. And the biggest rule to get over, because if you're by yourself, this process can take more than an hour. Like I got it out of him in an hour. And then a couple more hours, he's probably 3 hours in the car, and he was good. And then the next morning, he's like, yep. And then he did a trip the other week. He's like, yeah, I got the hang of it. I was like nailing every cast set up where I wanted it to be, like the deep, like easy cast, just short flicks. He's like, yep, I was doing it.
Yep.
So what I got out of him, which I drilled into him for an hour, was too soft. Like, don't be scared of the rod. You have to load the rod. So by load the rod, you need to cast with a bit of speed. Your motion when you cast, you need to push forward or you know, from your elbow, straighten your elbow nice and quick so that the lure stays where it is for a moment and the rod bends and then the rod flicks the lure. You're not lobbing it with your arm and keeping a straight, stiff rod.
Yeah,
so get yourself a lighter rod. Practice in the backyard with a casting plug or something around that weight. I like an 80mm hard body. I take the hooks off. I've got an 80mm custom crafted that I found on the river once that doesn't swim properly. So it's my casting plug.
Yep.
And just practice.
Yep.
And use that and learn how to use the bait caster. Because yes, you can do it on a spin reel, but your accuracy sucks. It's harder. You got to use two hands. Flick the bail arm over. Flick it out. You're flicking your lure over snags. Oh, the whole lot. It's not the same. So if you suck with a bait caster, it's all good. Still start with a bait caster.
Oh, totally. Yep. I do remember fishing bass back in the day, and it was spin because we probably didn't have access to the good bait casting gear that's around now.
Yeah.
So we used to use spin because there was more of a range in that sort of 2 to 4 kilo for sort of throwing those more soft plastics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I look back now, and, you know, I did. You do eventually get really accurate with a spin rod if that's all you're doing.
Yeah.
But I look back now and go, geez, it would have been so much easier if I had just a nice lightweight bait caster to just poke it in. Click, cast, click, cast.
Yeah, one hand. Click, click and flick it under with the same hand.
Way you go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the big difference. And your accuracy. Like, casting underarm with spin is just, like, not underarm, but trying to cast flat to get it under something. It's doable.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's probably the other thing too to remember, especially in the river systems, is a lot of the time you will have an overhanging, whether it be a willow on a bank or a fallen down tree, where you're not trying to get to the tip where it's sort of blocking your cast. You want to get underneath the tip of that log to get sort of into the back of the structure there. And with the spin rod, it's just going to be so much more difficult and, probably put you off it almost.
Yeah. So once you've got your bait caster down right, you've got yourself, I would say, some 5/8 ounce spinner baits. You don't need a stinger hook. Don't start with a stinger hook. You're just going to snag. Nope. Yes, you will miss little bumps from fish, but if I run a 5/8 with just a small curl tail plastic, there's no stinger hook. Don't worry too much about your colours. Just grab a couple and your hard bodies. I'd grab a few different hard bodies in that 70 or even 60 mil. Like, you will catch yellows on 60, but you'll catch a lot of smaller cod. You'll be surprised how an 80 mil hard body will scare your like 35, your very small, like your 35, 40 centimetre cod, which might be the fish that live in the small creek where you are. Like, you might have a high population of those fish. So start with a 60 mil. The lighter you go, though, the harder they are to cast on bait caster gear. But 70 is a good size, like a 70 AC. Your orgies around that 75 mil, like a good weight. You need a light rod. 70 to 90 mil, maybe 100 mil if it's a narrow profile hard body. And that's kind of all you need. You could go surface if you want to. You could get yourself a couple of small surface paddlers and use them in the low lights, but probably wouldn't start there. If you just want to get your first fish, you got surface, they're not as confident to eat. So if you fish surface and I fish spinnerbait in that first hour, sometimes I might get outfished with someone with a surface or may outfish me. But from all of the experience I've had, because I didn't use surface much when I was younger, because we were still learning and just want to catch a fish. And we're like, this is prime time. And we could catch 4 cod in that prime time on spinnerbaits consistently, small fish, over, you know, getting a couple of boofs. Plus you miss the boofs.
Yep.
So, start with a spinnerbait or a hard body.
Get your first fish on board first.
And if you're new to it, if you're new to it, I imagine more than 50% or a majority of you will be on foot rather than on a boat. Because if you you might be straight into the boat, but I imagine you've done a little bit on foot, or maybe you got yourself a kayak, or you're looking at getting a tinny or something, but let's say you're on foot. You don't want to be casting to the middle of the river. You just need to fish the structure close to the bank. Unless you're on a small creek that you can cast to the other side, then do that. But just work the logs that you can access on your side of the river and start with timber. Timber is the best place to start. If you're on a river, yes, you have like reedy edges, you have sort of deeper pockets where there's timber you can't see. There is rocky stuff. If you find rocky stuff, fish it. You might be up New England or upper land rivers where you got boulders, and if that's all there is, fish that. 80% of your river systems for cod will have some sort of timber or willows. You know, willows are scattered here and there. They can be a little bit more difficult to fish sometimes. But fish timber. Shade's big as well, isn't it?
It is, mate, yeah. And just touching back on where to fish if you are on foot, just those little pockets right at your feet, where the root balls are sort of, you know, jammed up against the bank, that's your prime. That's your prime spot when you're first getting started, especially if the one, if you've got one that's just got a little bit of flow coming past it, something like that. Don't go jumping out in the log first. Make sure your first cast is from the bank, right in the front side of that root ball there, because that's, I don't know how many, what the percentage is, but there is a lot of fish that sit right there in that shady pocket, and we're just trying to get a fish on a lure. They're going to jam out, and they're some of the best eats right there at your feet that you can get. I still love it now, like a 40 centimeter cod jamming you right there at your feet is, it's unreal. It's great, it's fun.
Good fun.
Yeah.
So you cast, if you come to a log, right, and you've got a little root ball, like a pocket on the root ball, we might have approached the back of the log first, or let's say the front, and we've got a clean cast that could go right out to the tips of the log. I could cast right out to the tip and retrieve it all the way into the root ball, but you don't do that, hey? You just do like a short cast, and how long would your retrieve be? 2 to 3 meters, if you can allow it. Sometimes if there's only a pocket, you just do a meter cast, let it sink, and then just you can see the lure again.
It's basically, it can be just a swing. It can be just off the rod tip, roll it in, and just let the lure swing right there in front of your feet. It's in the water for a meter or two. Then, you know, your next one might be 3 meters, and you might be 5 meters away until you get sort of out further on that particular piece of structure. But the first one's always going to be virtually at your feet.
Yep.
Because a lot of the fish are going to be sitting right there as well. Your prime time where they're going to move out and sort of feed off those outer limbs is only very short. And once that's sort of done, more often than not, they're going to pull back into where the water's a little bit slower. There's more shade, and that's your prime. That's your best spot to be fishing.
Couple of other rules to remember if you just want to get that first fish. Snag's going to be a big problem. If you are in a boat, get yourself a lure retriever pole. If you're fishing the impoundment, get yourself a tackle back, which is a weight that you slide down on a rope. But if you're on in the river, you don't need one of them because you're not going to be any deeper than 3 to 4 meters because they extend. Get yourself a lure retriever pole. We used to call it de-snagger pole. Mm-hmm. Get one of them because then you don't have to be scared about losing lures if you're in a boat. If you are in a boat, don't worry about a sounder. Put the money into an electric motor. This is a question I get asked all the time. Mm-hmm. Electric motor comes first, probably in both scenarios, lake and river, but definitely in a river. We don't really turn the sounder on much unless we're trolling or we want the temperature. If we're casting, sometimes we're in the inflatables and there's no sounder. It does help to give you bottom depth contour, helps you learn about different sections of pools, which I would like to have on the inflatable sometimes. But electric motor, you have an electric motor, it will double your catch rate, if not triple it, on a river system. So we used to fish out of the tinny, tie up to logs, a good day on the Bidgie in the warmer months, you know, might be, I think we got 6 fish once, like that was a really good day. Instantly get the Leckie, we're up around 8, 10, 12, 14, 15 fish for a day once you get the electric motor.
Yeah.
Practice and learn how to use it, and then you won't lose lures with an electric motor and a pole. Even without the electric motor, we still had the de-snagger pole and you just petrol in to jam your lures off. And then you're not as afraid as to where to put it. If you're on the bank, just try and avoid casting upstream to start with. If you cast upstream, in a flowing river, if it's not flowing, if it's like a shallow creek or even a river that's all pool water that's really got no movement, cast wherever, like do any cast in any direction. If you're in a river that flows and you're actually fishing the current, don't cast up, just don't cast upstream. You're learning, it might be counterintuitive, because as you learn more, as we share more content, as you go on this journey of learning, you'll hear us talk about casting upstream. For now, don't cast up and retrieve down, because the current will jam your lure in the logs and it's really hard to get it back. Lose more lures.
Yeah.
So fish perpendicular, straight out, or back up river.
It's probably the easiest way to get snagged up is to cast upstream and let it wash into the side of a log.
Yeah.
It's like,
you can't get
it back.
Three
quarters of the time, it's getting jammed in there and you're not getting it out.
So if you cast downstream and retrieve it up and it gets jammed, you can jiggle it and flick it and you've got the water pressure helping you push it off the back of the log. That's how it works. Whereas when you cast upstream, you've got the water pressure helping push it into the log and the opposite force. So it really goes against you trying to get it off. I used to use 30-pound braid and a 40-pound leader. I would never, ever again use 30-pound braid. Maybe if I was casting like a 50-mil lure for yellows. But for cod, I honestly wouldn't. And the reason being is it's very fine and I found it like slice through your fingers when you're trying to flick off your lures. Plus, there's a good chance of getting snapped off by a big cod if you do find a big cod, because 30-pound does pop pretty easy on a big fish in flow. And then I went to 40-pound, and because we use our gear for dams and rivers and it was kind of a crossover and I still found 40-pound cut through your fingers, I have settled on 50, and I would recommend 50 if you are starting anything casting a lure above a half-ounce spinnerbait up to... Or a 60mm hard body and up. Any lighter than the 50 pounds, probably a bit of a drag on the lure. But otherwise, in a river when it's not about distance, I would recommend 50, because once I get to 50, you can twang, where we flick the lures off. The braid becomes round and thick enough that it actually won't cut through your fingers. I don't know if you've found that, but that's something I recommend.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely, mate. All my kids have got 50-pound on their 4 to 8 kilo. Bait cast outfits, and it's got nothing, I wouldn't say nothing to do with the breaking strain against a fish. It's got a lot more to do with just the handling of the line, even things like wrapping rod tips. You know, when you're trying to flick your lure off, getting bird's nests, like getting backlashes on your spool, wind knots, all that sort of stuff. If you go down to a 30 pound and you start getting backlashes on your spool, you're going to be sitting down for ages trying to pick them out.
Yeah, 50-pound, just
hand. Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, trying to pull apart a spool of cotton or something, where if you go up to 50-pound, as long as it wants to be a decent 50-pound too, like an 8-carrier or something like that, don't worry about the 4s. Try and stick with an 8, spend a little bit more money, get an 8-carrier, which is basically 8 strands of braided together.
That says it on the packet smoother, for those who don't. If you're wondering what Dan's talking about, it'll say it on the packet when you go to buy it. It'll say 4, 8, and some are 12 now.
Yes, that's right. Yep. So stick with a good line, stick with 50-pound, and it'll save you a lot of headaches. And it doesn't, even if you're only targeting 30, 40 centimeter fish, doesn't matter. Stick with 50.
Yeah. Just change your leader. If you're only using a 50-mil hardboard and the water's really clear, then go a 30-pound leader. If you are getting into if you are getting into it and using smaller lures, maybe a 40-pound leader. If you're not worried about big cod in an area, and it probably doesn't matter because your hooks will straighten anyway before you break your leader on 40-pound. If you're using a 70-mil hard body or a small spinnerbait, probably won't straighten. But if you're using a 5/8 ounce spinnerbait, go with a 40-pound leader, and then step it up to 50-pound if you're in that autumn period and you're actually in that progress of, I've been doing this for a few years, or I've come across a few big fish and they've snapped me, or using slightly bigger lures.
And would you say like a 50-pound leader would be a good starting point for, say, your general, like say if someone's getting started on fishing a river like the Bidgee, would you just start with 50-pound leader?
I would now.
Rather than dropping down?
Yeah, I used to use 40 when I was younger, and I've lost a couple of fish, and it weakens quicker when the spinnerbait wraps around the end of it. I would, if you're just into it, you're going to throw everything from a 100-mil hard body to a 5/8 spinnerbait, the 50-pound, it doesn't really handle much different in a river. So I would start with 50, but I know some people prefer 40.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
You would start with 50 too?
Yeah, I'd probably stay with 50, mate, yeah. We still catch yellows and all that sort of stuff on the 5.8s, on the small hard bodies. It doesn't seem to worry them a whole lot. I don't think the fish in your river systems have got a whole lot of time to go, oh, geez, look at the size of that leader sort of thing. It sort of doesn't factor in for them, so they just focus on that flash of the vibration of the lure and just sort of zone in on that. I don't think too many of them shy away because of leader size. There's probably really no advantage. As long as it's not affecting the swimming action of your lure, then there's no issue. You could probably fish heavier if you wanted to.
That's the only thing. If you were in a creek that's got just as many yellows as small cod and you're using like a 50 mil AC or a 50 mil hard body, a tiny little hard body, 50 pound is going to...
Yeah.
The lure won't pull the leader through the guides. So it's going to be a mission to cast. Yes. I could almost go 30 pound then, and then you could fish happily and easily.
That's
and
right.
You'd have heaps of fun.
But yeah, exactly.
If you're just after cod, you're throwing like a 90 mil dyno or a 70 mil AC or a 5.8 spinnerbait, or your 50 pound's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's kind of a wrap up of, your bank walking. You don't want to cast upstream. Your fish are on the structure close to the edge. There's other things about conditions and water conditions, and we talked about this in the live Q&A in our membership the other day about different water conditions and things like that. That just comes with practice. You still need to get out there and go for a fish, so still do that. Obviously, if you plan your trips around the prime time, like now, March, April in a river system, you will catch more fish than the summer. So learning your water flows, your conditions, your clarity, all of that, and what lure to use when, your water, your lure colours, how your lures behave, and where fish actually live is really important. Now, if you are new and you haven't already seen, I actually created a short video series. There's four parts to it. It is an introduction to fishing. It's completely free for everyone to watch. It's about 2 hours worth of content, but it's all broken up into parts. So if you just want to learn about cod, you can watch that bit. There's also an introduction to golden perch and an intro to trout. It's called the Freshwater Mini Series. Go check that out. It's on our website, socialfishing.com.au. Just go to the tutorials, check out Freshwater Mini Series, jump on and watch it whenever you want. It'll always be there, so you can watch it however you want to watch it. And the reason I want you to watch that is because there's a thing in that that we cannot explain in any podcast, which is the very basics of how to cast to a log. So it talks about flowing water, the where the fish will sit, how they will sit, how you got to cast so that your lure swings around the log properly and fishes the log properly. We also give you a demo on a log, like we show you a log and say you should cast here, 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 and here onto this bit of structure. We also talk about bait casters and setting your cast control and how to cast with the bait caster in that. I give you a little run through of some of the basic introductory lures that you would want to use, whether it's a river or an impoundment. And then we obviously give a basic casting technique on an impoundment as well. So good wrap up. I think the cod one goes for about 35 minutes. Really good introduction on top of what we've talked about in this podcast if you're getting into lure fishing for cod. So check out that. It's the Freshwater Mini Series and it's on our website, which is socialfishing.com.au. You'll find a link to it on the homepage, but you'll also find it under the tutorials or the videos tab at the top. So we won't go into depth here now about where, other than Dan, you talk about the root ball and those shady pockets and the slack stuff, but there are more rules beyond that, which go watch that video after this podcast or whenever you want. It'll go into more detail there.
Yeah, great resource. But that's a really good starting point. Go and check that one out.
Yeah, I was really happy when we put that one together. That it sort of gave a really good nutshell overview of trout, yellows, cod, especially the thing. Yep. And it talks about where you would fish a hard body and where you would fish a spinnerbait. You'll get more out of that video, even just the cod part in 35 minutes, than any video you'll find on YouTube about fishing for cod. You Google how to catch Murray cod on YouTube, you won't find demos anywhere that we show in that. Really good introductory, how we do it, how we've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty much, the next thing is location. Location is big. I had a member inside the membership the other day ask us about, and he's new, he's been trying, but he's been fishing a few rivers in Victoria. I think the Loddon and the Campaspe, I think they were. It was definitely the Loddon. And I don't fish down that region, so I couldn't relay any information based on location specific stuff, but you could be doing everything right and you could be learning, but you could be in an area that's really not fishing well at the minute or doesn't have many fish full stop. So getting that right is the next part. So practice in your driveway casting, practice on your local waterway casting. Don't expect to catch a cod straight away. Like, just practice casting and retrieving. By the way, we skipped over retrieves, but you just want to slow roll. There's nothing fancy about cod fishing. Just slow roll lure back in.
Yeah.
And while I'm on that, the other thing to remember with a spinnerbait, with a hard body, you cast and you wind. With a spinnerbait, cast it in, engage your reel straight away, and slowly wind the handle of the reel while it sinks. It's a big rule, and you'll learn it in that mini series. Because you don't want to let the spinnerbait sink under no tension, because it will snag a lot more than it would under tension. So when you do let a spinnerbait sink, it pretty much pendulum sinks. So you cast it in, click it into gear, just turn the handle, like just turn it. And then once you think, you know, you're down a meter or a meter and a half, wherever you want to be, then just slow roll it back in. Then, you know, roll it so you can feel the blades ticking the whole way. That was a bit of a tangent on what I was talking about, but just wanted to mention that.
Good point though.
But location's a big one, and that's one that then becomes, it can be a bit of a struggle if you're in an area where there's not very good water. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you could be based in a spot where your rivers don't fish all that well, and it, unfortunately, that's just how life works, I guess. You've either got to travel or learn about the system, learn when the flow's good, and learn as much as you can about the prime time to fish that river or how those fish behave in that river. Yeah. Or is it a tough system? Or is it a really good system?
Mm. Yeah, that's right. That's where your research comes into it, doesn't it?
Yes. So that's where research, talking to other people. We have a membership platform where you won't get all of that, not yet. Hopefully soon we'll be able to grow it to have content everywhere. But we have report writers from a lot of the key areas. So we have a fair bit of content.
Yeah.
And we've visited a fair few of those systems where we can help share info on, keep fishing that place. It's amazing, or not so good, or, you know, wrong time of year, or the flows aren't right, or it's in flood, things like that.
Yeah, and if we don't have a report or a map or anything done down there, there's usually a member that fishes that area or something like that. It's always someone within the community that can, help you out with local conditions.
Yeah, because that's the next step once you've learned how to cast and use those lures. And what else? Fishing prime time is very important. What is prime time?
Yep.
What's the basics of prime time on a river? The very simple version of it.
Well, it's the same on the river as what it is in a lake, and that is low light periods. So sunrise and sunset, pretty much. Your prime in the morning is from, well, your prime is when it's still dark, but when you can first start to see your logs and things like that for the first, say, 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then it's in reverse. So 2 hours before sunset, right up till it gets dark, is your afternoon or evening, and that is, rivers and impoundments are, that's your two prime times.
Yep, pretty much in a nutshell. There is a lot more that goes, I don't want to overwhelm. If you're listening to this and you haven't caught your first cod, we don't want to overwhelm you anymore, because there are some other key windows there, other elements, but also the light at different times of year, like afternoons are better at other times of summer. For example, summer, your mornings are usually better, and as it cools down, your afternoons are typically sometimes better, but mornings are the pick by far. But just if you are new and you can only go at lunchtime in a lunch break for an hour and a half, then still do that, because they will still chew, especially that that afternoon period, or even that mid-morning period, or sometimes around lunch, the cod will still feed during the day.
Yes.
But
you can get those really good bite, sort of mid-morning bite windows sometimes, where they just,
especially
really switch on.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's when that sort of real tight root ball at the bank stuff sort of comes into play as well. So it's sort of a perfect scenario for anyone who is, just getting into it on the river don't panic if you can't get there at prime time. If you can get there at 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, you're just as good a chance half the time if you can fish those little pockets at your feet effectively with a 5-ounce spinnerbait. You're still going to be in with a good chance of a fish.
Yeah. So go when you can, but try and focus on the first and last 2 hours, or even if it's first and last 3 hours, if you can get there for a 3-hour session, and keep at it, and just don't expect to catch them straight away. Yes, you'll see people post stuff on social media. That's how the world works now. There's all this stuff on social media. But the good thing about social media is this is how you may have got into cod fishing. You may have seen posts of cod, or a mate caught a cod, and then you found this podcast, and now you're sort of getting into lure fishing. So there's good things about social media as well. But just don't expect to catch fish straight away like everyone else. Work on your own process. Spend some time. Go, right, I'm going to do four sessions and let's see if we can find something in these four short sessions. I'll try a couple of different lures and keep casting on that timber. But yeah, definitely start on a river. But as Dan said, there were some tips there for fishing on a lake. You got anything else, mate?
No, I guess if you do have better access to a lake, don't be scared of it. Don't be afraid to go and do that. If you're able to get to a lake a lot easier and a lot more often than a river, go to your local dam. Go to whichever it might be. It could be Burrinjuck, could be Blowering, Wyangla, Copeton, anywhere around the place. If you've got easy access where you can get to it, don't be afraid of it. Pick a small pocket of it and pick it apart. But definitely, if you can, go to a river, because there's heaps more fish and a lot less water.
Fun.
And it is great fun, yes.
Especially when the river's low. The other thing too, if you are new to chasing cod, you've been doing it for a year and you've got a couple, or if you've been doing it forever, one thing I really, really want to touch on is looking after the fish. It's something we kind of, well, not forget, but it's something you might not think about learning.
Yeah.
Cod are a very special fish. Any fish, for that matter, that's not a carp or a redfin, that needs to go back, it needs to be looked after properly. If you're keeping it for a feed, obviously there's no looking after it, but treat the fish with care in terms of preparing it for eating and don't waste it. But if you are putting the fish back, which a lot of us these days do in the 21st century, we're all, for example, myself, don't keep cod. I know the mindset of the majority of anglers these days is incredible in terms of catch and release for Murray cod. I think that's something very lucky we have.
Yes.
Don't know how it became to be so strong, but there's such a strong push, or just a known thing of, you know, all of us who love to chase cod, or not all of us, but a fair majority, it's a massive amount that we put them all back. And for those who don't, it's all good. Take the fish, they're there to be caught and kept, more so in impoundments, because they are stocked fish. River fish are wild fish as well. So just be wary of overtaking fish from river systems, but look after them, handle them properly. Now, what does that mean? If you're, I don't know what that means. The couple of simple rules: don't pick them up by the jaw and hang them vertical in the air. Don't just hang them by the jaw. However you pick them up, just put your thumb in their jaw, and if that's something you're not willing to do, get a glove, or you can get lip grips, the plastic ones that bite down and lock onto their jaw. Start with that. So basically, you put the lip grip over their bottom jaw, not the top jaw, over the bottom jaw, or you use your thumb to grab over their bottom lip and pinch really tight. You're not going to hurt them. And lift them horizontally. Just put your hand under the belly and just lift them up and just hold them like that. Don't keep them out of the water too long. Try not to drag them up onto dirt, mud banks. I'm thinking if you're in a river system here, just leave them. Mm-hmm. Yes, you may lose your first cod because you're still getting stuff ready and, you know, whatever, but leave it in the shallows, or just lay it in a shallow part on it. Like, it might slide in against the bank, you know, half out, half in, but in the water still. It'll be right there for a little bit while you get your gear ready. Hold it up, do whatever, support it properly, put it back in the water, you know, take the hooks out as best you can, and let it go nice and quickly. Take photos. They're pretty hardy fish, like, they're pretty tough. But the things that will hurt them is holding them by the jaw, especially as they get bigger, and them hitting the dirt will scratch off their protective slime. Them sitting there on the allure, swimming around in the shallows, they'll do that. They'll get tired, but they'll be fine. Yep. Out of the water being held up, they're pretty tough. Like, you could have them out for 3 or 4 minutes and they will be fine. Obviously, reduce it, but that's not going to hurt them as much as scratching this slime off will give them infections, and that's how they get sick. Yeah. Any other thoughts?
And if you do have to muck around for any reason, whether it be a lure that's jammed in that you're having trouble getting out, or, you know, you're waiting for a mate to come along with a camera to take a photo, just put them back in the water for a minute. Let them have a good breather. Either, like you say, with the grips, or just thumb grip them, something like that, or still attached to the lure. Just let them kick around in the shallow water at your feet. Chances are they're going to be pretty knocked up, so they're probably just going to sit there anyway. They're not going to really try and lunge out back into the snags or anything like that. You know, give them a few minutes to catch their breath, then have another crack at getting your photo done or getting the lure out, whatever it might be. It doesn't do them any harm. It's actually quite good for them to have a sort of second swim, and then you can sort of spend a little bit more time with your fish, enjoy it, and yeah, get your good photo and then get it back in the water.
Another good option is probably a net, especially on the bank, because you can put it in the net and then leave it in the net, sort of yep. fold the net over it, and it'll just lay in the net and sit still. And as long as it's in the water and the net's not closing its gill, it can breathe. Or if you're in a boat, leave it in the net, and that way you can go in and out of the net doing whatever you need to do. They're not like a trout. Mm-hmm. Like a trout, you'll do that with, and it'll go belly up. Not a fan of being out of water. Yellers and cod are really strong in river systems, especially. So
they are.
Yeah, you could have them in the net, like Dan said, while you get stuff ready. But just, yeah, just the biggest thing is don't hang it by the jaw if you're new to it, and pick them up horizontally, support their belly. So you just... hand in thumb grip on their mouth, hand under the belly, lift them up to do whatever you need to do. If you're going to lay them on something, make sure it's wet, like a wet brag mat or a wet towel or something. Not on a hot boat deck, not on a hot brag mat, not on dirt.
Yeah.
It's the biggest thing.
Yeah. The best way to look at a fish is if you can sit it in the water, whether it be on a grip or thumb grip, whatever it might be, that's the best place to enjoy and actually watch them and soak in that moment for me. You know, rather than having it dragged up on the bank or something like that. Just, spend a bit of time with it, with the fish sitting in the water. Enjoy it that way rather than, like you say, being up on the bank or something.
Beautiful. Awesome. That's a good little solid episode. And if you did enjoy it and you are new to cod fishing, let us know. Send us a message. You can leave a rating and a review over at Apple Podcasts. Let me know where you actually listen to the podcast. You listen on Spotify, you listen on our website. You can send us emails at admin@socialfishing.com.au or at rhys@socialfishing.com.au. Either of those will work. You can jump on social media. Yep. We're on Instagram, Facebook. You can send us messages there. If you want us to do a podcast on a specific topic, this one was requested. We have others requested on boat setups. What boat setups do we recommend and use and all the gear we use? Our gear, what actual gear do we use? Like rods and reels and line and leader and brands and things like that. But if you have any requests, let us know. And obviously, if you want more content, well, not more content, but what I want you to do is go check out the Freshwater mini series. So head to our website. I'll leave a link below. I'll leave a link below in the show notes, wherever you're watching this. So that'll take you straight to that page. Freshwater mini series. Jump on that and check it out. Thanks, mate. That was good.
Thank you, people. And let's see them. Let's see those guys out there catching a cod for the first time. Send us through some messages. We want to hear about the stories.
Yeah, stories and pictures would be great. We get some good ones, actually. We get some really good pictures, stories. We ran into blokes on the river the other day. And what was it? It was his mate's first cod, was it?
Yep.
Like one of the boys in the boat. Yep. Like the other two had caught cod.
Yep.
Tell the story as we're heading down the river. We'd finished our session. We've got two inflatable boats and we're just lekking our way down this beautiful afternoon.
Yeah, we're done on our trip. And you can just... the celebration going on in this tinny, a little bit further downstream. And we're sort of, debating, is it a big fish or whatever it might be? It's like, they're sort of hugging each other. It must have been a good one.
Yeah, it must have been a good one.
You know, it must have been a big fish. You know, maybe they got a meter, like we'll go down and, we'll probably find out. And anyway, we're almost past them, eh? Like we've sort of drifted past, so, hey, how you going? And one of the fellas actually recognised you and said, "Hey, Rhys from Social Fishing," and just sort of got talking about that. And then I think you must have asked him what fish did you catch or what was going on down here. And he's like, "Yeah, my mate just caught his first Murray cod.
Yeah,
65 centimetres
off the surface."
And I mean, these guys are absolutely blown away. And the story of how that fish came up and boofed what two or three different lures five times before he finally connected, and it was still like the sun was still on the water and the whole bit, but this, the celebration and the feeling within that boat was just something else. They was just so happy for his mate to catch the first cod on the surface lure. They've been going there for years and years fishing that same stretch of water, and they were just elated. They were absolutely wrapped with it. It was such a good story.
Because the other two had caught a few. They missed a big one a couple of years back or last time they were there.
Yeah.
But this mate of theirs hadn't caught. And I... after it, we floated off and went, how good's that? Like, that was almost better than all the fish we caught ourselves that day. Just hearing how excited they were.
Yep.
And it brought back memories of when I remember catching my... I remember catching a 74 on the river and it was massive. I was only young. I was only like 16. I was like buzzing for months.
Yeah.
Like, so good.
Yep.
And it just brought back those memories. But it also... that because we were coming down going, it must have been a big fish. But little did we realize, hey, this could be this guy's first fish. But whatever it was, we knew it was a special moment for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And really, at the end of the day, that's what fishing's about. Like, it's about the time with mates. And it's about whatever you want it to be about. But that there is pretty cool for them to be that excited for their mate to catch that fish. Like, that is the pinnacle of just getting out and doing what we're doing. Like, they go there for like a trip, and he'll probably go home and go, oh, that was a good trip away and we had fun with mates and blah, blah, blah. But to add the fish, so if you can learn a little bit about fishing and what you're doing, if you're going to put the money into it and do it, and then that starts to happen on the trips, you know, yes, enjoy it and respect it even if you go and catch nothing. Like, it still was good. But how's the story going to be and the memory going to be for years and years to come, because you know, you catch fish on the trip, like, it just becomes another
thing.
Yeah,
stepped up a level for sure.
Yeah, it was really good, and it'd be cool if they if they obviously listen to this story. I know they follow us, and he sent me a message and sent me a photo of it, but that was cool. So yeah, we want to hear stories. Send us photos.
Awesome.
That's what we're about community. And if you were happy for me to share, I'm more than happy to share photos and stories of anyone who's a listener or a member on our social media. I'd love to share more of your guys' catches and community catches. So send it through, and if you're happy for me to share it, let us know.
Awesome.
And there you have it. That is the episode done and dusted. Like I said, head over to Apple Podcasts, leave a rating and a review. And like Dan and I said, if you have any requests for any topics you would like us to chat about, you can send them through to me, however that be, at email or on social media, and we will try and pull together a topic for you. As our regularly do on the podcast is we like to interview special guests. We've got 88 episodes, majority of those, probably 65 of those, we have interviewed unique and amazing people who love fishing, and we will continue to interview as many of those as possible. If you do want content, if you want more content that we don't produce in the podcast, you really want some more, go head to our website, socialfishing.com.au. You can check out that mini series, or if you want more, you can check out the membership platform where we create a stack of content on freshwater fishing. Anyway, that is it from the podcast and myself. My name is Reese Creed, and you've been listening to the Social Fishing Podcast.